The text for today is Galatians chapter 1, verses 13 to 16, first part of 16. For ye have heard of my conversation in the past, in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. We'll just pray before we continue. Dear God, we want to thank you so much, Father, for this evening that you've given us to study from the book of Galatians. And we pray, God, that you would be with us as we studied for this for today's passage. And we pray, God, that you would help us to understand about Paul and his life and the testimony that he had. And we really pray, God, that you would help us to learn from your word today evening, and that we would apply it in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the last week's study, we saw how the gospel that Paul was preaching was not after man, but that from God. In fact, it is not false gospel, it is the gospel of God. Okay? It's not really like Paul's own gospel. And we saw that in Paul very clearly. He showed that he did not come up with the message by himself. Okay? And that's what Paul is trying to prove here also in this passage, in continuation of the passage in Galatians chapter 1. Paul is trying to, is going on to show that, in fact, he did not make up this message of gospel. And he was in fact against what was being preached. And he was against this gospel at one point in time in his life. And that he tried to destroy it completely. But God has changed his life around. And God has revealed to him something that has completely altered the path that he was taking. And that is the passage for today which Paul is writing about. Okay? Just like those Jews who didn't believe in Jesus Christ being the Messiah, that they did not believe that Jesus Christ was the Christ. Okay? The Jesus of Nazareth was the Christ. And that was the main issue for the Jews, and that a lot of people did think that Jesus was a great man and that he was a great prophet. But they missed the whole point that Jesus was the Christ, the anointed one of God, and the one who would bring God's kingdom, the one who is the King of Kings. Okay, and we see that in Acts chapter 26 verse 9, Paul here speaking in front of King Agrippa, he says, "I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth." So Paul had a desire at one point in life that to completely go against the name of Jesus Christ. Okay, the way it is put here, he had thought to himself, he has made a plan to make sure that he completely destroys the teachings of Jesus Christ. Okay, and that to go on to prove that he is not the Christ. Okay. And as we would see today evening, that Paul was a very devout Jew who was trying to remove all kinds of corruption and all kinds of false teachings, trying to, as per his understanding at that time, coming into Judaism. Okay, probably he is inspired by those Old Testament kings who have fought with the enemies and who have removed idols from who has cleansed Israel. And probably he is kind of thinking in the same way, that he is doing a favor to God by cleaning up all that is preached by this person called Jesus. Okay, so he really purposed to make sure that he does everything that is contrary and that is against Jesus of Nazareth. Okay. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and be exceedingly mad against them. I persecuted them even unto strange cities. So we see Paul's anger here. Paul was really furious about Jesus of Nazareth. He was like, who is Jesus? I mean, like, he's not the Christ. Okay? And he, being a Jew, he just wanted to do the right thing. And he wanted to set the nation straight and deliver it from this strange teaching that was being proclaimed in his time, as per his understanding before he went on the Damascus road. Okay. So Paul was really going after the church, and we know, as we just read, Paul was, he was also going until he was making sure those people who were believing upon Jesus were put to death. Okay. He went all the way through, and we see that in Acts chapter 8 verse 1, when Stephen was stoned, it says, and Paul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So Paul has, in Jerusalem, Paul has really created a havoc. Okay, he completely destroyed everybody. He tried to completely destroy everybody who associates himself to the name of Jesus. Okay, so. And we see that in Acts chapter 8 verse 3, for as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Okay. So Paul was really mad, as we just read, he was really mad against Christianity. Okay. So Paul here in this passage, he's trying to prove that the gospel that he's preaching is not something that he has come up with, because he was against it at one point. He wanted to prove that that gospel was wrong. And he wanted to prove that Jesus of Nazareth was not the Christ. Okay? And that was Paul's aim at one point in his life. In Acts chapter 9 verse 1, it says, but Saul, still burning with desire to put to death the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. Okay? So Paul had a burning desire in him to put the disciples of the Lord to death. Okay, he wanted to kill everybody who is a disciple of Jesus Christ. Okay, because and as I said, Paul did this because he wanted to be the perfect Jew, probably, and he wanted to be the blameless guy. He wanted to bring a revolution in Israel, and he wanted to set the example so that every other teaching that would come into the Jewish culture, Jewish teachings would be removed. But and as I said, he's probably got his inspiration out of how the kings like Hezekiah and Josiah cleansed Israel out of all false teachings, all the false priests and the prophets that were there. Okay, so Paul really thought that he was the one to do it, and he was really fervent in persecuting the church. And not only that, he was so fervent, he was also the best among his peers. Okay, he was the best guy among his group, and he was the perfect Jew among all his age group. Okay, that's what Paul says in verse 14. He says, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation. So he was like at the top of following the law among all his peers. Okay, nobody could find a blame in him. And as Paul would say in Philippians chapter 3, verse 4 onwards, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man think it that he hath whereof, he must trust in the flesh. I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Okay? So Paul was the perfect guy, the perfect Jew that you could ever find at that time. Okay? And he was trying to make sure that everything that is in his possible, in his hands, to completely destroy the message of the gospel. Okay? At the same time, it's not like Paul is this uneducated, barbaric brute who is just going around trying to kill everybody. Okay, he's not like that. He's a very learned man. Okay, he's a very disciplined person. Okay, and he knew the scriptures very well. And as he said, he's a Pharisee and a student of one of the top teachers of his time. We see in Acts chapter 22, verse 3, "I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day." Okay, so Paul was really, really trying to be the perfect Jew, and he did everything that's possible to be one. But the problem is here, is that he did not understand the gospel that is being preached, and he did not, as he would put in his own words in Romans chapter 10 verse 2, "For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God." But this was the problem with Paul, that he did not submit himself to the righteousness of God. Okay, the righteousness of God in Romans is actually revealed in Romans chapter 1 verse 16. It is the righteousness that comes through believing the gospel. Okay, in Romans chapter 1 verse 16 and 17 we see that. And so Paul did not had this great zeal for God, and he wanted to destroy the gospel, and he wanted to go kill everybody who associated themselves with the name of Jesus Christ. But he thought he was really being the perfect Jew. But we see that, as Paul says, that he bears a witness. He knows what exactly Israel is going through. Okay, in the way that they have a zeal in persecuting the church. And in Romans chapter 10 verse 1, he's saying that I wish the whole nation of Israel be saved. Okay, that's his desire, and he knows exactly what's wrong with them. Okay, what is wrong with them is that they are not submitting themselves to the righteousness of God. Okay, that is the gospel preached by Jesus Christ. Okay, so that is the problem. That was the problem with Paul. So as Paul said, "For ye have heard of my conversation in the time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God, and wasted it, and destroyed it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers." Okay, so that's Paul. And actually his name was Saul at that time. So that's Saul before he became Paul. Okay, and we see that, and then he goes on in verse 15, "But when it pleased God," okay, he says, "but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace." Okay, this is a great phrase that Paul writes. This is an amazing verse. Here you have a guy who is trying to destroy the message, okay, who's trying to destroy the church of God. Okay, but then he goes on to say, "But when it pleased God," okay, "who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace." I think this is really amazing. And the way he writes it, the phrase "separated me from my mother's womb" is also found in the Old Testament. It's found in once in Isaiah chapter 49 and also in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. I think in Isaiah chapter 49, could be probably talking about Jesus Christ. In Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nations." Okay, here God talking to Jeremiah, and And probably this is also talking about Jesus Christ in a double fulfillment of the prophecy. But here God is talking to Jeremiah and he's telling him that before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. Okay. Even before you came out of the womb, I have sanctified you. Okay. Now, this is something that we really don't understand, this part of it, because how does God do that? How does He know before somebody is even formed in the belly? Okay, that person never existed before. But that is something God. That's what makes God actually, and something that we can never explain. But as Paul said here, that who has separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace, but when it pleased God. Okay, so when it pleased God, God saw Paul's life and the way he's going on to destruct the church. But when it was time for God to deal with him, He dealt with him. Okay, and showed him mercy. As Paul would write further in 1 Timothy chapter 1, towards the end of his life, he's writing this in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 13. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That it was a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Okay. So Paul is writing here that he was a blasphemer and a persecutor and a very dangerous person. But he says, I obtained mercy. Okay, I'm a sinner, Paul says. I'm the chief of the sinners. And God showed me mercy so that He can show how He is long-suffering in the lives of people. Okay, that's what Paul is writing here. God is long-suffering in the life of people. He's waiting patiently to work in the lives of people. Okay, and oftentimes we don't see that. We don't understand that. Okay. And we will also see in the verses after this passage, he's also talking about that. That the church in Jerusalem did not accept Paul right away. Okay. Not everybody accepted Paul, and they were dead against him. A lot of people went against him. Okay. And that could be probably the group of people who have come here to church in Galatia and trying to teach Judaism, because they wanted to be against Paul. Okay, a lot of people did not accept Paul and his authority in the church. Okay, and he says that God was long suffering in his life. For years, Paul has tried to destroy the church, and God was very patient with him. Okay? So we also fail to see in the lives of people. Sometimes we get very frustrated, sometimes we lose patience with people, and we will say, this guy is the worst of all possible sinners. Okay, we sometimes could think like that, but God could show mercy to a person. Okay, and that is something that only God can do, and it is a sovereign power of God. Okay. And as Paul said, it pleased God in his own time, when God had a long patience with Paul, the one who persecuted church, and his life is changed around. Okay. So this definitely shows us how God can sometimes turn one's life, just like He did with Paul. And Paul probably was thinking he was going to Damascus on the road. Okay, he's riding a horse and he's going fast, and he's full of zeal and anger and the passion that he had. And guess what? He's completely knocked off the horse. Okay, so God could do that to a person. Okay, God could bring a situation in the life of a person who's completely going against, and God could knock him off. Okay, and throw him down from riding his horse and humble him. And bring him low and reveal himself to him. Okay. But also, does that mean that we all have to look forward for such kind of a dramatic experience? I don't think so. But when we all look back in our lives, I think we can also identify that in ways that God has knocked off from our horses. Okay, in points that He brought us low, and He made us realize that He is God in our lives. Okay, and that we have to obey Him and obey the gospel. Okay. So we definitely have a testimony like that too. Okay. So Paul, he says that he obtained mercy from God, and also in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 9 and 10, he says, I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. Okay. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Okay. So Paul acknowledges that in his life, whatever he's done, the one who's been persecuting the church, he is now turned around, and he's the one who's laboring abundantly compared to any other apostle. Okay, what is the reason? Because he received the grace of God. Okay, God was merciful to him. Okay, and that's how Paul puts it, and that's how I think we all should see it. That it is the mercy of God that we are here today even. Okay, it's not really because we are the greatest people and or the intellectual people. Okay, and we would see that also further, that it's not because we are not elected and we are not called, and our eyes are open to see the message of the gospel because we are somebody great, okay? But not because of that, but it's purely because of the grace of God. It's purely because of the mercy of God, okay? No merit to us, no matter what. Okay? So Paul, we see, he's a chosen vessel. God, Jesus Christ calls him, he's a chosen vessel. And as he said before, and he separated him, he was selected from the mother's womb, and he was called by the grace. And we see in Acts chapter 9 verse 15, God talking with Ananias, and said, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Okay? So Paul is a chosen vessel. He was somebody elected by God. Okay? It was the sovereign will of God. He changed Paul's life completely. He turned it around. And we also see in Romans chapter 9 verse 18, God says, He has mercy on whom He wills, and whom He wills He hardens. Okay, we are nobody to ask Him. Okay, then as He says further in verse 9, Romans chapter 9 verse 21, or does not the potter have authority over the clay for the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? Okay. So we see in Paul's life that it was not humanly possible for him to just change around. Okay. From our perspective, he was the worst guy. From the perspective of the church at that point, he was the worst guy possible. He was somebody to be completely avoided. Okay. But God had mercy upon him. But God had grace upon him and changed him around. Okay. And that is amazing, and that completely talks about the sovereign will of God, and that he can choose to do that, right? And as we just read, that he was like a chosen vessel, somebody that would bring honor to his name, okay? And that's what Paul is trying to defend here, that he did not come up with this message all by himself, but that God has chosen. Okay, he who was a persecutor is now turned around, and he is proclaiming the gospel that he tried to destroy. Okay, that's Paul's testimony. It's not because of him, but because God has changed his life around. Okay, and that's why he's saying that in Galatians chapter 1 verse 12, for I neither received it from man nor was I taught it, but through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay, so for someone to be able to understand the gospel, it has to be given by God. Okay, that is something I think we have to really understand, that it is not flesh and blood that would reveal to us about Jesus Christ and the message that we hear, but it is God the Father who has to reveal it to us. In Matthew chapter 16 verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. To be able to understand that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, and that he is the Messiah, you have to be revealed, it has to be revealed to you by the Father. Okay, he would have to open our eyes to see and understand the message. And as our text for tonight, that as Paul was trying to deny that Jesus was the Christ, he was trying to destroy everybody who was saying that Jesus was the Christ. But but we see that that God had revealed it to him, and it was through the revelation of Jesus Christ that Paul had understood the gospel. Okay, and his eyes were opened that he can see that Jesus was the Messiah, and that he would be able to understand the kingdom message that is brought by Jesus Christ, and probably by the sign of the scales falling off from his eyes, that meant that Paul's eyes were opened and enlightened to understand. And this person who was a persecutor, who had great zeal, and now he's gone to be one of the best apostles, the one who established the New Testament church like nobody else has done. Okay, and whose epistles we are reading today. And I don't think anybody in the entire history could ever be like Paul. Okay, there's not a single person who could ever be like Paul. Because he had such zeal for the message that he believed, okay, and the way he preached the gospel, despite facing so much of persecution, okay. So this message to him is not revealed by flesh and blood. It's not people who are trying to teach him, okay. But it is God, the Father, who has opened his eyes to see it. Okay. The same with us. Yeah, God does use the medium of a person. Okay, God did use Ananias for Paul to go and open his eyes. But that doesn't mean that that it is all man who is teaching. Okay, and the message that we've heard is not just from man. It's not somebody who's just been sitting on his computer and studying for hours, and then he came up with this message. Okay, it's not like that, right? It's not Pastor Adam's creativity message, right? It's not something that we hear like that. This is the message from God. He is the one who's opened up our eyes to see. Okay, and I think that is something we really have to understand. And God can give somebody eyes to see, and somebody and other people He might close their eyes. He would not let them see. Okay, you would say, well, that is totally unfair. I don't know. It's the sovereign will of God. What can I do about it? You ask God if it is unfair. Okay, you reason that with God. Okay, because we see in Luke chapter 8 verse 10, and he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Okay. So the message of the election has to set us free from a lot of struggling with our families mostly. I used to struggle with my family, trying to convince them about the message. Okay, and by all possible means that I could do, I tried everything that I could to make them understand. But it just doesn't seem to. I just don't seem to be able to make a point with them. It's just not happening. Well, I think it's the election of God. Am I somebody great than my family, than my father and my brothers and everybody else. No, it's not because I'm great. It's because God has given mercy to me. Okay? And that's the same thing with each one of us. We are not here because we are somebody great and that we are the intellectual beings, and God forbid we should ever behave like that. But it is because the mercy of God, it is because the grace of God that He has chosen us. Okay. So God is the one who gives us understanding. He is the one who opens our eyes to see and to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Okay. But then there's a question to ask: is that then why should we go go out for outreach and proclaim the good news about the gospel? Because God has to. God could do open their eyes, and He will do the work. No, but God does use the medium of human beings. Okay, we are His instruments. Okay, we are His workmanship. Okay, as we would see in the verses further later, we are His workmanship. We are the agents. We are the ones who would go and proclaim the gospel. But it is ultimately up to God to open up the eyes of a person. Okay, we do our responsibility of teaching and preaching and proclaiming the gospel. But it is up to God for a person to accept it and be able to understand and make sense to them. Like, to tell somebody when someone's life is going so fine, he's got all the money, especially in Delhi, he's got all the money, he's got a girlfriend or a wife, he's got a family, he's got a car, he's set, all set. He's all that he does is go out, make more money and go in the evening and have a party and live his life. For him to tell that, you know what, this whole world is going to be destroyed one day. And to tell him that, you know, Jesus Christ is coming back and he's going to bring another one. To him it makes no sense. It's like the bizarre thing to ever hear. Like, what? No way. It's not going to happen. Right? But you know what, somebody, when God opens his eyes, he will see it. You are so right. All this is passing away. That's exactly what they will think about. Right? So, and I'm sure it with us too. God has to open up their eyes, and not just our creativity and our convincing with them, but it is God who opens up their eyes. And this is the sovereign election of God. And we see in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Have we done anything before the foundations of the world? Is there anybody who has done some merit to understand the gospel? No, we have not done anything. We were not even existing before that. But God, He has chosen us before the foundation of the world. How does He do that? I have no clue. I have no clue how God does that. But it is completely the sovereign will of God that He has chosen us, that He before the foundations of the world. Also, we see that in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love when He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is not positional truth, because He explains that when that will happen. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kind and in His kindness towards us through Jesus Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. For God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Okay. So whatever we do here today, all the saints, that everybody who's making efforts to live by faith, it is totally because of the grace of God. Okay. Yes, we are His workmanship, and we do work, and in our church we emphasize so much on the works also. Okay, and that is very important. You can't just sit down and say, well, God will do the work for me. Okay, that's not how the sovereign will of God works. Well, didn't God do that for Paul? Wasn't Paul doing everything against Jesus Christ and God changed him around? Well, God might not do the same thing for you. Okay, that's up to God. That is not an excuse for us to live well, to live a life that we want to live. But think about Paul's life also, the amount of persecutions he's gone through, and the zeal that he had for God later on in his life. And as I said, nobody can ever be like Paul. Okay, the amount of work that he has done for the church. Okay, none of us could match to that. We see that the sovereign will of God is completely, it's not because of our works that we should be able to boast and we should be able to say, well, I have finally achieved it. I am the one who discovered the gospel. I am the one who invented it. Like I am the one who could show it to others. No, it's not because of us. It's totally because God has mercy on us. And because of His grace. Okay? And we also see in Luke chapter 10 verse 21, Jesus Christ said this, "In that hour Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to babes. Yes, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight." Okay? It seemed good to God that He would reveal these things to us. You know what? Who we are? We are babes. Okay? We are not the intellectuals, nor the wisest people in the world, but we are nobody. But God has given this wisdom to us. He has revealed His mysteries, His plan, and His purposes for the entire universe to us. Okay, and that is something great, and that is something amazing. Okay, so as Paul says here, that God has separated him from his mother's womb and had called him by grace when it pleased him. Okay, when in his own time, whenever God willed that he would do so, and to a purpose, as he says, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Okay, so Paul was given a task to preach Jesus Christ among the Gentiles. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 11, we see, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles." Okay, so Paul was given the commission to be a preacher and an apostle and teacher of the Gentiles, just as Peter was given as a teacher to the Jews. Okay, in Acts chapter 26 verse 17, this is the commission that Paul has received, "delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." This is Paul telling the conversation that he had with Jesus Christ, and this is what he commissioned him. Okay, to go and preach to the Gentiles. Okay, to open their eyes that they may understand the gospel. Okay, and this is something very unique also, because at that time the church was only ministering to the Jews. Okay, it was only being taught in the synagogues, and or the message was only limited to the Jews. And this also Paul writes that in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 5, "which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, whom am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." So Paul's ministry was very unique, and Paul's ministry was to minister to the Gentiles, which was not revealed earlier. In the Old Testament, there are passages talking about the Gentiles, but it was not understood by the prophets and the apostles until the time of Paul, right? When he turned to the Gentiles and he started preaching the gospel to them. Okay, so Paul was given a very unique ministry to preach and teach to the Gospels, to the Gentiles. Okay, and in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who had enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into this ministry. Okay, so this is what the verses here are talking about. I try to stay as much close to the text as possible. Paul, who was persecuting the Jews, who has set his mind to destroy the church, the message, and kill everybody, was given grace. Okay, was shown mercy by God, and that has changed his life. And God gave him a commission to go to the Gentiles and preach. Okay, so that is what this verses are talking about.